Well, I want to finish by talking about a related thing just briefly. One of the biggest words that often comes up when you talk about religion and things like desire, sex, that kind of stuff, is guilt. It's the word. Catholic guilt, Jewish guilt, Islamic guilt, guilt from my mother, guilt from my father. Guilt that's kind of there in the background. In a religion without God, guilt is something you really have to look at. In the Buddhist tradition, feeling guilty is considered a negative mental state. It doesn't help you see things more clearly. It confuses things. We don't really have time to go into the psychological basis of guilt, but there seems to be a kind of theme generally to do with a fear of the removal of love or the removal of approval from someone who you hold in regard. And it's not in a healthy way. It's not in a healthy way. In the Buddhist tradition, particularly in the Abhidharma tradition, this is seen as really unhelpful. It doesn't help you see clearly. And Buddhism provides an alternative. So there are two terms. When you go away from here and you're looking at your behaviour through the week, maybe you're paying a bit more attention to your experience of desire generally, to the kind of engine room of yourself as you move around the world. As you're looking to cultivate stillness and simplicity and contentment in your life, two new words to kind of chew around. I'll give you them in both Pali and Sanskrit because they're nice words. They're nice words. In Sanskrit, the words are hri and apatrapya. And in Pali, they're hiri and otapa. If I had cats, I would call them hiri and otapa. And hri or hiri simply means reddening. It means reddening, as in blushing. And apatrapya or otapa means fear of the censure of the wise. Something like that. And these two things take the place of guilt. So the Buddha gives you a set of subtle tools for a complex universe. It's not the big, heavy hammer of guilt. It's basically recognising that you've got a set of values and sometimes you let yourself down. Again, you probably don't need me to tell you this. Sometimes you let yourself down. And when you let yourself down, if you slow things down and open up space, you're going to notice that. We have a conscience. There is something in human beings that feels an internal sense of right and wrong, at least provisionally, or a spectrum there. And the Buddha says, well, when you let yourself down, you feel this reddening. This reddening happens in your being. So it's almost like you spiritually blush. And that's what you might bring to confession in Buddhism. The moments where you spiritually blushed. Oh no. I just killed that mosquito. I didn't want to kill that mosquito and it's dead now and it'll never be back. And you know, I've let myself down somewhere. And things much more gross than that. The other one, apatrapya, otapa, is like you've got friends or people you look up to whose values you aspire to share. And you know that if they knew you were behaving in a certain way, they'd probably be like, ah. And you have to be careful with this kind of thing, that it doesn't just tip into authority figures and that kind of stuff. But I've certainly experienced this as useful. There are some people I really, really look up to. And I know sometimes, particularly with big stuff, big moral dilemmas, that I want to talk to them about it before I make a decision, before I do something rash. Because actually, it just feels right. It just feels right. The Buddha famously said, you should test my teachings in the fire of your own experience as a goldsmith tests gold. But you should also have recourse to the counsel of the wise. Basically, you don't know everything. You certainly don't know all of your own experience. You're not necessarily mature in various different ways. It's good to have some input. Yeah. So having these two things, hiri and otapa, hri and apatrapya, can be quite useful as a way to keep your moral compass straight as you follow the map of the Buddhist precepts. They help us learn to work effectively with our minds and to change our behaviour. They help us to leave unhelpful moral judgments and existential models behind, those of St. Augustine, those of one nation under God. And most importantly, they help us slow down the impulse. They help us slow down the impulse I want and the impulse I'll have. And when you soften that, when you soften all that and slow it down, it opens up a space, that space that we're talking about between feeling and craving. Or feeling an aversion. Into that space comes stillness, particularly in meditation, but off the cushion as well. When you slow it down and you soften it up, Into the space comes stillness, and into the space comes contentment and a sense of simplicity. And when you have those things in play, that's when things can arise. Peace of mind can arise. Peace of the heart can arise. Peace of the body can arise. And that's what the Buddha is talking about when he looks at desire and he looks at sex. And it's something we really have to try and take on in a culture that's got a very different model. Whether it's a Puritan model or a generally Christian model, it's a very different model. And we have a choice to make. And the religion without God represents that choice. Peace of mind, peace of heart, and peace of body.